take your Bible this morning and turn to Acts chapter 22. Acts chapter 22. Once you find Acts 22, find verse number 7 and then stand with me if you would. Acts chapter 22. I want you to find verse number 7. I'm going to read out loud and you can follow along silently. Acts chapter 22, verse number 7. And the Bible says this. Well, and look at me for just a second. Let me tell you what we're going to read here. This is a bit of the testimony of the Apostle Paul. His name was Saul, later changed to Paul, and he is giving his testimony about meeting the Lord, and we're going to see that now in Acts chapter 22, starting with verse 7. It says this, "And I fell into the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him, and he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldst know his will, and see that just one, and shouldst hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. Now, the next few words are what we're going to use for today's sermon. It says, and it says, And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized. Said, and now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized. Let me pray for us. Father, bless us now. Help somebody to remove their excuse for not serving you today. Please, bless us with thy Spirit's presence. Help everyone to be alert and appropriate during the preaching, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. Paul here is testifying about how he met Christ, and it's written here in the Scripture. There comes a certain point, as Paul is giving his testimony, there is a man named Ananias, and Ananias speaks to Paul. Paul is told about meeting the Lord, and Paul is told about seeing a light, and Paul is told about how when he's seen a light, he was blinded, and somebody leads him, and once he gets to his destination, a man named Ananias begins to talk to him, and I'm going to use something that Ananias said. Ananias said in verse number 16, he said, And now, why tarriest thou? He said, Arise and be baptized. Here's what had happened. The Apostle Paul is now referring to Jesus as Lord. In other words, he got saved. He received Christ. And now a man says to him, you need to get up and go get baptized. But he used the words, he said, Why tarriest thou? He said, here's what the guy was saying. He was saying, for what are you waiting? For what are you waiting, Paul? Get up, go get baptized, and go do something for God. Now, I want to recommend to everybody here, if you've been saved and you've never been baptized, you ought to get baptized. It is the first step of obedience after your salvation. Baptism does not save you. Salvation is a gift from God, and you got it when you prayed and asked Jesus to come into your heart and save you. But then God said after you get saved, you ought to get baptized. And it is a step of obedience that is necessary after salvation. During the spring program, every single Sunday, we'll be baptizing, and you're going to have that opportunity if you're not born, if you've been born again and not been baptized. But I think the part of this little verse that I was enamored with is this. This is Saul, who is now being called Paul. Paul probably penned probably 13 at least books of the New Testament. Other than Jesus Christ, Paul was probably the best Christian in the New Testament. But this guy by the name of Ananias looks at Paul and he said, "Paul, get up, stop wasting time, and go get baptized and get started on doing something for God." I like that. I call the sermon this morning, "For What Are You Waiting?" For what are you waiting? Did you hear how it is said there in Acts? He said, "Why tarriest thou?" And that's what Ananias was saying. He said, "What are you waiting for? What in the world are you waiting for?" And could I say to everybody in here, what is it that you're waiting for? What are you waiting for? Is there something in your life that needs to be fixed for the cause of Christ? Could I ask, what are you waiting for? Why don't you step up for God? What are you waiting for? Why don't you sell out to Christ? What is it that you're waiting for? What is the hindrance, if I could? What's the excuse? What is it that seems to be in between you and what you ought to do for God? And I would say that everybody in here, at all levels of Christianity, there is something that you ought to be doing for God, and I just wonder, for what are you waiting? It may be that you're not saved. Well, for what are you waiting? It may be that you've recently been saved, but you've never followed the Lord in believer's baptism. For what are you waiting? There are some of you, you've sat in the church and you've learned some things about God and you've learned some things about the Bible. Hey, those things are not just there to enrich your brain. They're there to enrich your life. And the way you enrich your life with the Bible is you live it and you make it a part of you. Hey, can I ask, for what are you waiting? There are people in here, you've heard some things that ought to change in your life, that ought to make you better. Some of you, you've learned some things about the subject of separation on Wednesday night. Could I ask, for what are you waiting? I really believe this. There are people sitting under the sound of my voice today. You've heard some things about God and how God wants you to live a long time ago. And you still haven't done anything about it. I'm not talking about a week ago or a month ago. There are people in here, you've known there are things that ought to change about your life for years. And you still have not cared for it. Could I ask you this morning, for what are you waiting? For what are you waiting? Why do you tarry? And I like this guy named Ananias. I'm not sure that he knew exactly who the Apostle Paul would be. But those of you that know who the Apostle Paul is, you're talking about big-time New Testament personality, the Apostle Paul. I'm glad old Ananias said, "What are you waiting for, Paul? Get up and go do it. Don't just sit there. Do what you're supposed to do for God." Now, folks, I'm going to tell you, there's some of you, you're going to come to the day of your deathbed and you're going to wish that you had done the things that you should have done for God, that God tried to get you to do for God. You're going to be sorry that you delayed and you're going to be sorry that you wasted part of your life. For what are you waiting? For what do you wait? I got to wondering, why? Why do we wait? Why do we delay? Why do we put things off for God? What's our excuses? What's our mentality? Let me see if I could mention a few of them, and maybe somehow in this little list that I'll give you this morning, we'll stumble across your reasoning why you're not stepping up for God, why you're not fixing what's broken in your life, why you're not serving God with more efficiency or with more drive. Why are you not more interested in church and interested more in God? What is it? Maybe you say, I ask the question, for what are you waiting? And maybe you would say, well, I'm waited until I'm convicted. I'm waited until I feel conviction from God about those things. Did you know that in Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 38, it says, "Now the just shall live by faith"? Let me explain something. Let the Bible convict you, not your own logic. In other words, if it's in the Bible, it should be your conviction. I know some people say, "Well, I know that's in there, but I'm not bothered by it. So I'm not convicted. So I've not changed." Can I tell you how ridiculous your logic is? So if someone said, I know the Bible says thou shalt not kill, but I'm not bothered by it. That doesn't bother me. Okay, then let me ask, does it make it okay for you to disobey the commandment, thou shalt not kill? So what would you say about that? You say, well, no, it's very clear, it's very obvious. It doesn't matter how you feel about it. It matters what's right and wrong. And I've been in the ministry for a long time, and I've been around a lot of people. And there are people that will say to me, I know that's in the Bible, but I'm not convicted by it. The absence of conviction in your life does not eliminate the presence of the truth of the Word of God. And God did not put it in there for you to pick and choose like at a smorgasbord or at a buffet. God put it in there for you to do what you're to do. And if it's in the Bible, it ought to be your conviction. Amen. So what are you waiting for? I'm waiting to be convicted. I could call the roll. I could give you a lot of stupid illustrations like the one on thou shalt not kill. But you do understand there are people out there. They know that's in the Bible. They are not bothered by it. And they do it anyway. And I could call the roll. And I could take 20 minutes and give you all sorts of illustrations that would apply like that, but I don't need to. You listen, if it's in the Bible ought to be your conviction. Hey, for what are you waiting? Say, well, I'm waiting until I have enjoyed the world enough. I'm waiting until I have enjoyed the world enough. Now, there's some of you might say, oh, preacher, surely people don't think that way. Oh, preacher, surely they do. There are people that sit here, there are things in their life, and they know that they should not be in their life, but they're enjoying it too much. And though they may not have had a conversation out loud about it, on the inside they're saying, I'm not giving this up, I'm enjoying it too much. I want to wait until I've enjoyed all of this that I want. The Bible says in Mark chapter 8, verse number 36, for what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Now, that obviously mentions to us salvation, but I think the concept goes a whole lot farther than just salvation. Is it possible that there are things that you ought to do for God, things you ought to change for God, things you ought to give up for God, but you've said, you know what? I'm waiting until I have enjoyed the world as much as I want to. I hope you know this. Maybe you don't. You say, I want to enjoy the world. Well, it's actually the world's enjoying you. Because it'll drain you for everything you're worth. And then when it's done with you, it'll put you out at the garbage can to be hauled off and buried in a landfill. That's what the world will do to you. So you say, I want to enjoy the world. No, you got it all wrong. It is the world enjoying you. It is the deception of the devil that's got your attention. You plan to, and here's what's sad about that. Well, I'm not going to sell out for God or do what I should for God. I'm waiting until I've enjoyed the world to the degree that I want to. Does that mean you plan to give God the leftovers? There's some of you. You realize that some of you at your age, you've already spent a pretty big chunk of the quality years of your life living for the devil and in the world. How much longer do you plan to give the devil the best of you and give God what's left of you? I don't think that's how God intended it at all. Did you know the Bible says in Proverbs 21, verse 17, he that loveth pleasure shall be poor. Be poor. I think that is be poor financially. I think it's poor in health. Folks, let me tell you something. The world and the devil will destroy your health. The world and the devil will destroy your emotions. The world and the devil will destroy you financially. And when you say, well, I want to enjoy the world some more, that makes me think you want to go do what you want to do, and then maybe someday you'll come to your senses and give God whatever is left. That's so sad that we would treat our God that way. Ananias said to Paul, he said, why tarriest thou? He said, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? You say, I'm waiting until I'm convicted. If it's in the Bible, you ought to already be convicted. It's the Word of God. What are you waiting for? I'm waiting till I've enjoyed the world enough. Hey, I got to thinking. Maybe I would say to you, for what are you waiting? And you would say to me, I'm waiting for my friends. I'm waiting for my friends. The Bible says in Matthew 10:37, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Let me explain something, folks. I wish that you cared about your friends, that they would be saved. And I wish that you cared about your friends, that they would clean up their lives. And I wish that you cared about your friends, that they would get into church like they're supposed to. But the best way to get that done is not by following them away from salvation and following them away from the church and following them away from the will of God. It's by you getting in to the church and you getting into the will of God. But I'm waiting for my friends. There are people all over this world and for centuries that have died and gone to hell because they were waiting on their friends to get saved, or they have messed up their lives royally because their friends did not want to serve Christ, so they didn't serve Christ. Get this. You say, well, I'm waiting on my friends to take an interest in church, and I'm waiting on my friends to sell out to God, and I'm waiting on my friends to separate, and I'm waiting on my friends to purify. Huh. I just about imagine they're waiting on you. And if they're not, God is. God is. I would recommend this. I would recommend you make Jesus your best friend. For what are you waiting? Ananias said to Paul, he said, why tarriest thou? Do what you're supposed to do. And so you all know, Paul had been saved. He had not been baptized. He said, what are you waiting for? And he said, why tarriest thou? And Paul ran out and got baptized. And may I say, Paul turned the world upside down for Jesus pretty quickly thereafter. Wasn't going around making excuses as to why he wouldn't sell out to God. Why he wouldn't get right with God. So maybe we'll say, I'll wait, I'm not convicted. Or maybe we'll say, I wait because I've not enjoyed the world enough. Or I'll wait until my friends, if I would have waited for my friends to get right with God when I was younger, I'd be in prison today. I'd probably be dead. Now listen, you need to have a relationship with God for yourself. And you need to become God's friend and let God be your friend. So, but friends, we're waiting. And you say, yeah, Brother Owens, that is very, very good for the young people to hear. I think it is. Young people, you ought to serve God whether your friends want to serve God or not. You ought to come to church whether your friends want to come to church or not. You ought to separate from the world whether your friends want to separate or not. But may I say, that's not just good for the young people. That's good for everybody at all ages. There are people that ought to be more involved for God, but they're not because they're friends not. But let me tell you this, number four. For what are you waiting? You say, well, I'm waiting until to serve God, there's not as much to give up. I'm waiting until it's not going to cost me as much. I'm kind of waiting until, you know, there's a lot of things in my life that need to change, and I'm kind of not wanting really to sacrifice all of that. Couldn't I wait until it's not as costly for me to serve God? Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 and 8 says this. But what things were gained to me, those I counted for loss. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. You say, well, who is that? Paul. Same guy that Ananias said, what are you waiting for? Get busy. And he did. And you know the attitude that he developed? He said, you want to tell you something? Everything that I gave up for Christ, he said, it's like dung to me in my thinking. It wasn't important after all. He said, because once I gave it all up, it wasn't such a bad sacrifice. And somebody said, well, Paul, what did you get in exchange? He said, I got Jesus, and it's been worth it all. Jesus, compared to everything else you're hanging on to, is like dung. Manure. Stinky, stinky. Pamper pellets. One of these days you're going to get to heaven and you're going to figure out those things that you hung on to, those things that kept you out of church, those things that kept you from serving God, those things that kept you from committing to God, those things that kept you from changing your life, you're going to look at it and you're going to be so humiliated. You're going to say, look at everything I had available to me and everything that God was and everything that I could have had. And I was hanging on to those stupid little dung trinkets. But Paul got it right, didn't he? Did you hear that? I love it. He said, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Wow. You see, I'm waiting until I want to go ahead and enjoy my stuff and my things, and I want to enjoy what I have, and I'll get to God later on, and maybe when it's not as sacrificial to serve God, maybe then I'll do it. Man died. They were at the funeral, and one lady was looking at the widow, talking to another lady about the widow. And the question was asked, how much did he leave her? The other lady looked back and said, all of it. All of it. You're not taking anything with you, folks. All the toys, all the things that we want to hang on to because we're fearful that we're going to miss out on something. We're not taking any of that with us. You say, well, what will I take to the next life? What you send ahead. Through what? Through serving God. Amen. Through serving God. We say we're not atheists, but so many times we live like we are. We say we believe there's a heaven. We're going to go there someday, but we don't live like it today. So your plan is to waste as much as possible living for the devil until you narrow down what you have. And again, we'll just give God what's left. I wouldn't wish this upon anybody, but I do know what I'm about to say can be a reality. If there's something that you're not willing to give up for God, and you know you should give it up, and you won't, and it's hindering you from doing what you should for God, He can remove the obstacle. You say, it's my job. He can remove that. So there's somebody, and I don't serve God because of that somebody. Now that can be eliminated. You say, I have some possessions, and they just get the best of me. They can be eliminated. You say, I just like to chill out with my body and I don't really want to be involved in church. Oh, He can take care of that too. You see, the question was asked of Paul. He said, "What? Why are you tarrying? What are you waiting for?" Some of us wait to be convicted because we think that somehow God is supposed to do something to us emotionally in regard to the Scripture. No, you're supposed to obey the Scripture. We are waiting because we not enjoy the world enough. We're waiting for our friends. We're waiting because we don't want to have to sacrifice. We don't want to have to give. Oh, how about this? I got to thinking. Why do we tarry? Why do we not step up and serve God? Why do we not sell out to God? Why do you hang on to whatever it is that keeps you from really serving God? Why? Maybe it is you're waiting until it gets easier. easier, more convenient. In Acts chapter 24, verse number 25, there's a story of a man by the name of Felix. Again, the apostle Paul is talking to this man named Felix. And Paul is trying to convince Felix to serve God. Paul is trying to convince Felix to get saved. Paul is trying to convince Felix to sell out to God. And listen to what Felix says to Paul. Acts 24, verse 25. He said to Paul, "Go thy way." Here's what he's saying, Paul. "Get away from me. I don't want to hear it." He said, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." So Paul is telling Felix, get saved. Paul is telling Felix, serve God. Paul is telling Felix, sell out to God. Paul is telling Felix, come on, get on board, do what you're supposed to do. Why tarriest thou? And Felix said, it's just not convenient. Convenience. Are you so busy using the body that God gave you that you don't have time to let God use your body? Are you so busy spending the money God gave you, you don't have time to come around and serve God? Are you so busy enjoying the job that God gave you that you have no time to serve God? Are you so busy enjoying the eyes that God gave you? It's just not convenient. Serving God would interrupt my life. This guy went down in history for saying, serving God's not convenient. I'm not in. Isn't that amazing? What's happening over there on that hill? There are three crosses. They're nailing a man to a cross. Wait. Look what they're doing to him. No, they're stopping. He's standing up. He's walking away. I'm going to go over and ask him what's going on. Hey, sir, who are you? You're Jesus? Wow. What's happening? You're being crucified? Why did you get up and walk away? Oh. Dying for everybody would have been hard. So you've decided it's not convenient to keep everybody out of hell. Are you not glad that Jesus did the inconvenient thing? Don't you think it was inconvenient when he came out of a perfect heaven? Don't you think it was inconvenient when he lived 33 and a half sinless years? Don't you think it was inconvenient when they were plucking his beard? Hey, do you think Jesus was inconvenienced when they stripped him? Don't you think he was inconvenienced when they beat him within inches of his life with a cat of nine tails? Don't you think he was inconvenienced when they mocked him and plucked his beard and gave him vinegar and gall to drink? Don't you think he was a bit inconvenienced when they rammed a spear in his side? Don't you think he was inconvenienced when they put the crown of thorns on his head? Was he inconvenienced at all when they drove great nails in his hands and in his feet? Don't you think he was inconvenienced when he shed his blood to die for you and got put in a grave and come up out of that grave? But it's inconvenient to serve God. Why don't we do something for God? Why do we play church? It's just inconvenient. Come to church is inconvenient. To tithe is inconvenient. To win people to Christ is inconvenient. To change my life is inconvenient. And I don't want to be inconvenient. Hey, I'll let you love me all you want, God. Pour it on. Take care of me. Bless me. But don't you inconvenience me. I'll tell you why some of you have the thought of getting involved and the thought of doing something for God. But it becomes inconvenient. You say, well, you say, well, God still loves me. Yes, He does. But he also put the passage of Scripture in here that Ananias said to Paul, "Why tarriest thou? What are you waiting on? Why don't you get involved?" Let me move on. For what are you waiting? You might say, "I'm waiting till I'm a little older. I think I want to wait until I'm closer to death." Folks, just so you all understand, serving Jesus is not for little kids and old people. The generation that is a challenge today is that middle generation that are so caught up in so many things in the world. Hey, let me read a verse to you. Proverbs 29, verse number 1 says this: "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." And that verse right there says, if you know there's something about you that ought to change for God, and God touches on it with you, He speaks to you about it, and you don't do it. And then He speaks to you about it again, and you don't do it. You can become calloused. You become hard about that thing. He spoke to you, but you didn't do anything about it. He spoke to you, and you didn't change. And He spoke to you and didn't change. He said, somebody that gets so hard-nosed and so calloused, it says, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. You say, I think I want to wait till I'm a little closer to death before I do anything for God. When I'm older, maybe I'll calm down and I'll serve God some. I don't know how long you think you're going to live. You may be in your last days right this second. This may be your last week. You're pretty cocky and arrogant to think you're going to make it to 90. Matter of fact, God said, if I try to get you right and you won't get right, and I try to get you right and you won't get right, and I try to get you right and you won't get right, and you get harder and harder and harder, He said, you can suddenly be destroyed in that without remedy. You say, doesn't God love me? Yeah. He may take you to heaven to keep you from messing yourself up anymore, because you're going to heaven. But some people say, I'm going to wait a while. Now, if you're not saved, and I'm almost finished, but if you're not saved, what are you waiting for? For what do you wait? Salvation's all taken care of. It's all paid for. All you have to do is receive the free gift. You say, well, I've not enjoyed the world enough, and I'm waiting for my friends to get saved. And there's some Christians that I've watched. And let me tell you something, folks. That's another one of the excuses. I'm waiting for some Christians to become more consistent. So it's somebody else's fault you're not right with God. That's what you're saying. And let me tell you this also, you got to be smaller than a hypocrite to hide behind one. And you Christians, you understand something. You and I should not be stumbling blocks to others. We ought to live our life right. But some of you, you're going to be very, very silly by using other people as your excuse for not doing something for God. The Bible is very clear. We'll all give an account for ourselves. But if you're not saved today, maybe you say, you know what? Those excuses are, some of those are the very reason I'm not saved. What are you waiting for? Salvation is free. It's simple. It's all cared for. If you're here today and you're not sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven, I would recommend you get saved today. Don't let anything stop you from getting saved. If you're saved today and you've never been baptized, you ought to be determined that you're going to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. If you're here today and you're not right with God, what are you waiting for? If you're here today and you're just not sold out to the Lord, there are things in your life that ought to change. You know they need to change. Why don't you determine that you're going to stop using the excuses that we tend to use and decide you're going to serve God? If you look in the New Testament, you'll find the man by the name of Paul. He tells the story of his salvation. Ananias came by and he said, "What are you waiting for? You get going and you go serve God." And the Bible basically says Paul stood up and he tore into the thing. And Paul went down in spiritual history. That one conversation probably made all the difference in the world to the rest of Paul's testimony. Somebody told him, stop putting God off. And Paul said, I will not put God off. And you see him blaze through the New Testament. 13 books of the New Testament, the modern missionary movement. What a powerhouse for God. Because somebody shook him and said, why do you put God off? Stop putting God off. And Paul said, I'm not going to put God off. And he didn't. Maybe the most powerful man other than Jesus Christ in the New Testament. Because Ananias said, what's the delay? If there's a God, let's get started. I would say to you, what's the delay? If there's a God, why don't you get started?